IE America Radio Network Newsbreak, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
On May 1st, after a dramatic tailhook landing in a Navy jet, George W. Bush stood on the deck of the aircraft carrier USS Abraham Lincoln under a banner reading Mission Accomplished and proclaimed victory in Iraq. That declaration has proven premature, given the continuing attacks on U.S. soldiers and other targets in Iraq, and every aspect of the president's appearance on the carrier has provoked intense criticism from Bush's adversaries. Yesterday, Bush disavowed responsibility for part of that appearance, saying the Mission Accomplished banner was the work of the carrier crew. However, according to a May 15th New York Times article, the banner was one of many details attended to by Scott Sforza, a former ABC producer who was hired by the Bush campaign. Sforza and his staff were on board the Abraham Lincoln for days prior to Bush's landing and supervised every aspect of the photo op, including the banner. Two American soldiers were killed when their Abrams battle tank was damaged by resistance fighters, U.S. officials said Wednesday, as the number of U.S. soldiers killed in combat since major fighting ended topped the wartime total. In a separate attack, seven Ukrainian troops were wounded in the first ambush of a multinational unit in the Polish sector south of Baghdad, coalition officials said. The latest deaths bring to 115 the number of American soldiers killed in combat in Iraq since President Bush declared an end to major fighting May 1st. Defense Department figures show 114 U.S. soldiers died in the active combat phase, which began March 20th. Most Ground Zero workers still suffer from health care problems 2 years after September 11th, and many do not have health insurance or job security, doctors told a congressional panel Tuesday. Workers testified at a Manhattan hospital before the committee, saying they had trouble breathing and no longer had the strength to do their old jobs. The Santa Ana winds that have fueled California's wildfires calmed on Wednesday, but forecasts called for Pacific Air to push fires in new and dangerous directions. At least 16 people have died in the blazes since October 21st, and more than 1,600 homes have been destroyed. More news after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They're full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
Most blacklists are designed to intimidate. But thousands of Americans are clamoring to join one drawn up by the National Rifle Association. Actor Dustin Hoffman was so dismayed to find his name missing from the NRA's 19-page blacklist that he wrote to the powerful pro-gun lobby group begging to be included. As a supporter of comprehensive anti-gun safety measures, I was deeply disappointed when I discovered my name was not on the list, Hoffman wrote in a letter to the NRA. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network Newsbreak, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when you cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved Liquicaps.
Tom DeLay, the loopy majority leader of the U.S. House, didn't have enough to do in Washington, so in his spare time, he's become the new czar of Texas. He swept into our state capitol early this year with a brand new scheme to redraw the boundary lines of our congressional districts. Never mind that redistricting had already been done just 2 years ago by a bipartisan panel of judges. Tom doesn't have any patience with bipartisanship, though. He didn't like those old lines because, he whined, the people just weren't electing enough Republicans to Congress. So Tom took charge of our state government, drawing a new map with congressional districts rigged to eliminate 6 to 8 Democrats. In a silent coup, he even shipped our inept governor out of state so he wouldn't get in the way while Tom himself was browbeating legislators in back rooms to force out his new map for Texas congressional seats. No Democrats were consulted, and no public hearings were held. The little czar simply ruled. And what a map he drew. It's filled with districts that look like U-turns, curlicues, squiggles, and snake trails. Take my town of Austin, which DeLay hacked up into three convoluted districts. This effectively leaves our state capital as the only one in the country with no U.S. representative of our own. Instead, we're now in a Houston district, a San Antonio district, and, in a tribute to the art of gross gerrymandering, a Rio Grande Valley district that looks like a Picasso snake running for 350 miles all the way from Austin to the Mexican border. It's bizarre. For example, the Tavern, a local restaurant, is in the Houston district, but its parking lot is in the San Antonio district. The University of Texas football stadium is in the San Antonio district, but its baseball field, right across the street, is in the Rio Grande Valley district. This is Jim Hightower saying, Tsar Tom is out to Sovietize our political system.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network. Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
This time we're saved by the music. Saved by the song we can sing. This time we're saved by the music. Saved by the song.
Okay, okay, we're here. We're here. Ready to rock and roll. Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces. Phone number is 800-TALK-YES. If you can hear us on Sirius, will you give us a call? 800-825-5937. We were preempted for basketball last night, and I understand that there were literally, what, hundreds of phone calls that went into not just Sirius, but also IE America Radio complaining. You know, we liberals live in a tiny little ghetto anyway. So when they infringe on that little tiny chunk of broadcast band where we do our thing, whether it's on the internet or one of the satellite radio channels or a few radio stations that have the grace to carry this program, when that's invaded, obviously people are going to complain. So if you're listening on Sirius, give us a call, 800-825-5937. I wouldn't be surprised if we're preempted again for basketball. God, I hate it. Dennis Kucinich, tomorrow night in our first hour. Don't miss it. A couple of weeks ago, I said something. A lot of people said, are you nuts? I said, you know, it just seems like it's Wednesday all the time. Hello. And tonight also, Simple Scotty repeats the same tired old talking points regarding Iraq and several other things to an increasingly prickly White House press pool. Not that these people in the White House press corps, with two notable exceptions, there are a couple exceptions, but Russell Mokyber and Helen Thomas and a couple others, not that the others are getting more aggressive in their questioning. They're just getting bored. They're getting tired of hearing the same thing. So they're getting a little testy with Simple Scotty. We'll have some audio from that press conference today. It's worth sticking around just to hear. 358 total Americans killed in Iraq as of late this afternoon. 358 total. All deaths. Two American soldiers were killed when their Abrams battle tank was damaged by resistance fighters. The number of U.S. soldiers killed in combat since Too Stupid to Be President danced around the deck of the USS Abraham Lincoln with his crotch strap pulling his scrotum up around his chin has now topped the wartime total. The latest deaths bring to 115 the number of American soldiers killed in combat since Bush said, hey, major fighting's over on May 1st with his stupid-ass banner. And there's more controversy about that banner that we'll get to a little bit later, too. 114 U.S. soldiers died in the active combat phase, 115 now, since Bush baby said it's all over, but the cheering. And by the way, the total number of dead, including suicides, combat deaths, and accidents, since Bush said bring them on, is 153. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? Have I? I haven't? Well, by God, we've been in the program here for 4 minutes. It's about time I said it. I hate these people. And by the way, this talk that everybody's hearing now, when the Bush crime family or their spokespeople are questioned about, well, weapons of mass, where's the weapon, and we're being told, well, look at the progress, schools are open, hospitals are open. That's not the reason we went to war in Iraq, to open schools and hospitals. We went to war in Iraq because Iraq had nuclear weapons, and they were going to drop them on the United States, remember? Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. They had trainloads full of anthrax and botulism and sarin gas, and they're all poised to dump them on the United States or Israel or somebody. We didn't go there to open schools and rebuild hospitals. Oh, never mind. Courtney Love, released on $20,000 bail, charged with two counts of illegally possessing the same drugs that were coursing through the veins and circulatory system of the pig man when he hightailed it out of Florida and went into a rest home. Same thing. So Courtney Love is charged with two counts. It's not clear from the indictment whether the drugs were in her or on her, but it doesn't make any difference, does it? $20,000 bail. She's facing hard time. The pig man gets a free pass. The pig man who conspired with his housekeeper to suck up illegal drugs. He gets a free pass. Courtney Love, $20,000 bond. She's out of jail as of tonight. A couple more little items here. These things are just crazy. Hold on just a second. What do you open your mic? Tell me what you're getting there. Is Sirius satellite working?
No. Apparently, it's halftime in the middle of a basketball game.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. Was your mic open when you just said that? Okay. See, I can't tell in my headphones if Kathy's talking just to me or talking to everybody. In Lorain, Ohio. Lorain, Ohio is not far from where I grew up, maybe 130 miles. It used to be a great town. There were two towns far enough away from Cleveland, far enough away from Columbus to have their own industry, Elyria and Lorain, two great great cities until small town, you know, medium-sized towns until the Rust Belt hit. And factories pulled out and moved overseas or moved to the south and the southwest where there were no unions and you could get people to work for a third of what they would work for in Lorain, in Elyria. Anyway, in Lorain, a 9-year-old boy there. Now, think a second. Do you have kids? Think about a 9-year-old, okay? A 9-year-old boy was arrested at gunpoint and handcuffed Saturday because he was waving a toy gun over his head while he was seated on a bench outside a store. His mother was inside shopping. That's according to a Lorain, Ohio police report. His mother said her son told the police when they approached him outside of a business, the little boy said, "It's a toy! It's a toy!" But a Lorain police officer aimed his weapon at the boy's head, ordered him on the ground, handcuffed him, and arrested the kid for juvenile delinquency by reason of inducing panic in what? The cop? Jesus. The mother also was charged with obstruction of justice and resisting arrest when she pleaded with police not to arrest her son, just to give him a warning. The mother said, he doesn't deserve this. He's not a bad kid. I'm just trying to explain to the officer. It's just not fair. Oh, my God. This cop ought to be taken out horsewhipped. What do you want to bet he's about 23 years old, right? Just came back, just got discharged from the military. He's probably a former military policeman. And just doesn't understand that a little kid waving a gun in front of a store, a toy gun, is not a threat. Who sent me this story? Deb, from chilly, snowy Calgary. All the way from Canada. Thanks, Deb. Another, got a lot of stuff here from our Canadian listeners. Greg, who lives in Lethbridge, Alberta, Canada, said, Mike, you might want to mention this on your show tonight. Maybe some of your listeners close to the Canadian border can catch this program. Now, what it is, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation has, they have a program called The Fifth Estate. And it begins its 29th season. This is kind of like, what, 60 Minutes? It begins its 29th season of investigative journalism tonight at 9 o'clock, 16 minutes ago. I assume these are all Eastern times. If you live near the Canadian border, if you pick up the Canadian television, you might want to check this out. It is on what channel? It's on CBC's main network. The program tonight is called Conspiracy Theories. This is what the blurb says. It went out to media about their show tonight. Now listen to this. On September 11, 2001, pilotless airplanes were guided into the World Trade Center by homing beacons. It wasn't a plane that hit the Pentagon. It was a missile. U.S. Air Force planes weren't scrambled to intercept the hijacked planes that morning because the White House was behind the events of that tragic day. Incredible? Definitely. Outlandish? Well, there are lots of people who believe that at least some parts of these stories are true. In a special season premiere investigation, the Fifth Estate's Bob McCowan finds that even the most outlandish conspiracy theory may have its basis in a legitimate question. Blah, blah, blah. What he finds out may startle you as much as any conspiracy theory, including the ties between the Bushes and the Bin Ladens. Thanks, Greg. We've talked about this on this program, but it's good to see that the Canadian Broadcasting Company, where they, Canada, where they still have a relatively free press, an astonishingly free press when you compare it to the United States, is willing to report on this. We spend a lot of time busting up on stores like Walmart for good reason, because Walmart is nothing more than a slave master that owns all sorts of slaves around the planet and sucks these slaves dry for their labor, producing products that they then import into this country. And we slaves, in different forms, one form or another, go to Walmart and buy them. And, you know, it's hateful and disgusting and foul and vile. Guess what Sears is doing? This is, who sent this? Is it D.L.? D.L. Harris? Okay, it's D.L. Harris. It's about what's going on at Sears with their people who have been activated to go into the military. They're reservist employees, they're National Guard employees. As you know, the law requires that the jobs be held until these soldiers, men or women, get back. Usually people take a big pay cut and lose benefits as a result of being called up. But that's not what Sears is doing. Sears has got a plan here, and I want to share it with you because I think this is worth mentioning. And I think maybe we all ought to go shop at Sears. Huh? Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Memories hold together all these melodies. Melody. I don't want to sing it all.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Hmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you take a feeling spray, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate. Remember, nothing lights up the road like halogen. And like everything Napa sells, our halogen headlights are manufactured to the highest industry standards. This is the good stuff. So come into Napa and get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa, get the good stuff.
Show. We are going to do Rumsfeld now. You know, I talk about doing acid 30 years ago. Rumsfeld must do it daily. Right before he goes out for a press conference, Rummy comes out all acid-headed up and, you know, just stoned on his ass, just completely freaked out.
Oh, hi. I noticed the doorknobs are all crawling around the ceiling. Hello. Ask me nothing. Get these spiders off of me. People are waving things at me. There's stuff jumping out of doors. Ew, Jesus. You know, the fire hose on the wall there, it just rose up like a snake. And you're asking me questions like, I don't know this stuff.
This is the Secretary of Defense, Truth Seeker. It's insane. Do you understand? These people are crazy.
So crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with Anna?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, there. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Truth seekers celebrate. Right wingers beware. More of Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. So what's up with Sears? Okay, listen. This is, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'll find out that Sears exploits third world people. You know, I don't know. But as of right now, here's the story. Assume you, the person who sent me this email says, I assume you all have seen the reports about how Sears is treating its reservist employees who are called up. By law, they're required to hold their jobs open and available, but nothing more. Usually people take a big pay cut and lose benefits as a result of being called up into the military. Sears is voluntarily paying the difference in salaries and maintaining all benefits, including medical insurance and bonus programs, for all called-up reservist employees for up to 2 years. I submit that Sears is an exemplary corporate citizen and should be recognized for its contribution. And then the writer says, suggest we all shop at Sears and be sure to find a manager and tell them why we are there so the company gets the positive reinforcement it well deserves. Pass it on. Now, this was checked at Snopes.com, and it's true. I mean, this is, you know, it's not one of these wild-ass internet rumors that somebody put out who works at Sears. It's true. The person who sent me the email said, I decided to check it out before I forwarded this to everybody and forwarded it to it. So I sent the following email to Sears, customer service department. It says, to whom it may concern, I received this email. I'd like to know if it's true. If it is, the Internet may have just become one very good source of advertisement for your store. I know I've got out of my way to buy products from Sears instead of another store for a like item, even if it was cheaper at the other store. And here's the answer this person got. Dear customer, thank you for contacting Sears. The information is factual. We appreciate your positive feedback. Sears regards service to our country as one of the greatest sacrifices our young men and women can make. We are happy to do our part to lessen the burden they bear at this time. It's signed Bill Thorne, Sears Customer Service, webcenter@sears.com, and there's an 800 number. So the person sending this says, you know, pass this on to your friends. Sears needs to be recognized for this outstanding contribution. And we need to show them as Americans we do appreciate what they're doing for people that are called into active duty. So, Sears voluntarily pays the difference in you know, the salary loss when a reservist gets called up, man or woman. Whatever he or she was making at Sears, subtract what the military is paying, and Sears will pay the difference, plus Sears maintains all the benefits, including medical insurance and bonus programs. So it's worth noting. It really is. It's worth noting. And this Saturday, do we have to buy anything this weekend, Kathy? Any garden stuff? Well, that's true. We did. Was your mic open? Okay, we'll open it.
Well, we've been remodeling our kitchen for everybody out there who'd like to know, and we bought all our new appliances at Sears.
Well, you call that remodeling? I still can't get the drawers open. We bought a new dishwasher and a new refrigerator.
And a stove.
Oh, that was, hell, that was a year and a half ago.
Well, they all came.
Two years ago.
They all came from Sears.
We can't get the drawers unstuck. The cabinets are falling down.
Well, we'll have to have Sears come out and give us some new cabinetry.
I wish I had money. I just wish I had some money. I'm serious. Yeah, we bought it. Sears, all right. We go to the scratch and dent Sears over here in Stone Mountain. That's where we go.
It's perfectly good merchandise.
I'm not complaining.
It just has a little tiny dip or ding.
Look, to save $200 on a dishwasher or a refrigerator to get the scratch and dent thing, I'll do it. You're damn right. No problem. But that's right. We do a lot of shopping at Sears already. But
you bought all your power tools there. The ones you haven't used yet, the weed whacker.
Yep.
You haven't mastered the weed whacker yet.
That damn thing is alive. All right, quick break here. When we come back, a little Republican scandal of the day. There's always something, isn't there? And then I just have a question, just in passing, a simple question. If Bush doesn't read any newspapers, like he said, How can he criticize the media coverage of Iraq? Huh?
Windows, they just drive by, and all I know that those that are going to be killed aren't those that preside on Capitol Hill. I told him, don't fill the front lines of their war. Those aren't worth dying for. And he said, roll with it, baby. Make it your career. Keep the home fires burning till America is in the clear.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Scientists say we should learn from history before we go all out with hydrogen. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Fuel cells that use hydrogen produce electricity and emit only water. If hydrogen fuel cells replace the internal combustion engine, they could eliminate problems with smog and oil spills. But some people say we need to examine all the impacts of this fuel before we start using it. Tracy Tromp is a physicist at the California Institute of Technology. She's the lead author of a study in the journal Science about the potential impact of a hydrogen economy on the environment. Tromp says hydrogen could leak out during fueling, storage, or any other point along the way. She says too much of this loose gas could disrupt the recovery of the Earth's protective ozone layer. Tromp says this is not a reason to dismiss the idea of using hydrogen-powered fuel cells.
We're not advocating scrapping hydrogen fuel cells. We think they're a great idea. But we're at a unique position at this point in time. The hydrogen fuel cells are a technology that's currently under development. We're not set down any particular technology path. So what we're hoping is to force a dialogue to start thinking about the environment and which of these technologies are most environmentally friendly.
Tromp says that if we can anticipate problems, we can work to avoid them. She says that did not happen before modern economies were built on a foundation of fossil fuel. The consequences included air pollution and widespread emissions of greenhouse gases. Tromp says people are working to better understand how hydrogen behaves in the environment. She says that information is critical to predicting and monitoring the impact of hydrogen fuel cells as a common source of energy. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network. All right, boys, come on.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Twenty-seven before the hour. All right, the latest Republican hypocrisy, sexual hypocrisy. It just never stops. But this one is a Republican representative from Ohio, Steve LaTourette. His wife. This is in thehill.com, the newspaper published in Washington for anybody who wants to read it, but it's information about the House and the Senate and so on and so forth. It says, the wife of Representative Steve LaTourette, Republican of Ohio, said Monday that her husband of 21 years has asked for a divorce after admitting he is involved with another woman, a Washington lobbyist. Oh, Jesus. I'm not laughing because of this woman's misery. This couple has four kids. I'm laughing because it's a Washington lobbyist. That's all. If you'll remember, the guy Livingston from Louisiana, who was going to replace Newt Gingrich, turned out that he was boinking every female lobbyist that came into his office looking for favors. Yeah, I'll give you a favor. Come here, get up on the desk for a minute. Susan LaTourette said in a telephone call from her workplace near the Cleveland suburb of Madison Village, where she, her husband, and their four children live, quote, he called me on Friday and said he wants a divorce. Mrs. LaTourette, who said she doesn't know where her husband lives in, when Congress is in session, blamed the Washington culture for the breakup. She said, I think Washington corrupts people. He was a wonderful husband and father, the best I ever saw until he went there. I told him I was trying to get him out of the dark side, all that power and greed and people kissing up to them all the time. Now he's one of them. All they care about is getting reelected. I hate them all. That sounds familiar. I hate them all. Well, Mrs. LaTourette, I know that feeling. This thug went into Congress during the Gingrich Revolution back in 1994. He's a lawyer who was Lake County. That's right next to Cuyahoga County, which is Cleveland. He was Lake County District Attorney for 6 years before he won his seat in Congress in 1994. He declined to comment to the Hill when informed of his wife's assertions. His communications director, Deborah Setliff, said,
he's not going to make any statement today. He said it's a private matter and he has no comment.
Well, Mrs. LaTourette doesn't think it's a private matter. She's telling anybody who will listen. He carried his district in 2000 with 69% of the vote. Well, at the same time, Al Gore won barely that district over Bush. Now, what's interesting, he's a member of the Financial Services Committee, the Government Reform Committee, the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, and the Standards of Official Conduct Committee. Standards of Official Conduct. Right. Now, why did we impeach Clinton? Oh, that's right. When first elected, he said he would stay for 4 terms at most. That means he would have been out of there in 2000, right? But he recently told Republican leaders, okay, I'll serve no more than 10 years, which would be 5 terms. But he's announced that he'll run for a 6th term in 2004. Gee, there must be something about the Washington culture and, you know, all that oral sex or whatever it is you're getting from your lobbyist girlfriend that really turned you on. Steve? Mrs. LaTourette said her husband called her a few weeks ago to tell her he had a girlfriend. He wanted a divorce. She named the woman. The Hill will not name her. She named the woman whom she said was a lobbyist. Mrs. LaTourette says she urged her husband to seek marriage counseling. Please. You know, they've been married 21 years, for Christ's sake. And he indicated he would consider it. But on Friday, according to Mrs. LaTourette, he called me again and said, I want a divorce. It's over. Goodbye. Asked why she was going public with her marital problems, she replied, because I want to get him back. It's very painful. But I just wanted people to be aware of this. Most women who get treated like this can't do anything about it, but I can. Republican family values. There's another example. 21 years marriage, 4 kids. Yeah, okay. What else we got here? Very quickly. Okay. Email from Matt. Mike, I listen to your program during the day since I'm in bed before 9. Tuesday evening's program is most interesting since we listened to the Sock Puppets press conference on our way back from Western North Carolina. Oh, this is the one we did, what, last night? Picking the soundbite, yeah. Matt says, I could not believe what I heard coming out of this idiot's mouth. My wife had to restrain me since I screamed at the radio with his every response. We continually commented on what we thought your reaction would be to his speech. Interestingly, my wife thought he was on Valium as well. She got a great charge when I told her that you had the same reaction. Now, the reason for my email. I'm concerned that the media is not paying enough attention to what is happening in the Middle East. There were some probing questions at the press conference and idiotic responses by W. The one which really got to me was his comment that he was the first person to promote a Palestinian state. What the hell was Clinton doing? Yeah, well, sure. Bush doesn't know any, you know, whatever. Matt continues. The Middle East situation is the core of the problem. This is not only my opinion, but also the opinion of many others. This is the reason that the moron put together his so-called roadmap. I'm a little disappointed that you have not spent more time pointing out the lies that have emanated from Bush, Powell, Sharon, Netanyahu, and the rest of those filthy, dirty SOBs who continue to hide behind the anti-Semitic cry. It was no coincidence that the Middle East was peaceful while Clinton worked his magic. Now you hear the same BS over and over again. No one talks about the treatment of the Palestinians. No one talks about Israel's annexation of Palestinian land. I know it is not easy to talk about the Middle East without being called anti-Semitic. It is the same thing as being called unpatriotic when you voice opposition to the war. Thanks for your program, Matt. I'm not afraid of the charge of anti-Semitism because the people who happen to be Jewish, who also happen to be my friends, understand my position clearly. The people who are Palestinians who happen to be my friends also understand that position clearly. One of the reasons I do not talk as much as I probably should about the Middle East is because I started talking about it during the first Intifada in 1987. I was invited to go on the Eyewitness Israel program to the Middle East. Didn't go. When was that, Kathy? 91, 92. Sent a friend, a journalist friend of mine, who's a photographer. He came back with a great slideshow of pictures of the occupied territories that he then exhibited here in Atlanta at a gallery. And prior to the gallery opening, we had a private presentation at the home of a prominent Palestinian man, a doctor, here in Atlanta. And the guest list included Palestinians, Egyptians, Israelis, in other words, Jews, Muslims, and Christians. And we all got together in this Palestinian doctor's home and looked at the pictures and discussed the situation. But it's something that's, it's been going on for, what, 15, 16 years now, the so-called Intifada or uprising. The second one is the one that has become so bloody. I've made my position clear on this program about Ariel Sharon. He's an unindicted war criminal. So is Benjamin Netanyahu. The people who, in the Bush administration, who are American Zionists, who have no concern whatsoever for the Palestinian people, are despicable. They're beneath contempt. They are Richard Perle, Paul Wolfowitz, Douglas Feith, these people who are driving U.S. war policy. Elliot Abrams is another one, the Iran-Contra criminal who now heads the Middle East desk for what, the State Department? Is the State Department? These people are American Zionists. They look at Palestinians the same way white Southerners looked at black folks in this country, especially during the 30s, 40s, 50s, and into the 60s. They consider them to be the same subclass of human beings. I'm talking about these specific people. There is a tremendous peace movement in Israel conducted by Israeli Jews who hate what is going on in their country. There are honorable Israeli Defense Force members, pilots, soldiers, who have refused any more attacks into the occupied territories because they understand genocide. So I don't know how to talk about the situation. I don't know how to talk about that particular. I don't. Equally condemn the Palestinian suicide bombings. I guess on an intellectual level, I can understand the rage that drives that. The same rage now that's making itself evident in Iraq. What Bush said is nonsense, that people are blowing themselves up because we've opened some schools. I mean, it's insane. Bush is a moron. He's a freaking moron. But where it concerns the occupied territories, the situation in Israel-Palestine between the Palestinians and Israelis, what is to talk about? The Bush crime family had a chance to take a handoff from the Clinton administration, who actually took a handoff from Pappy Bush, who in turn sort of took a handoff, if you pass over the 8 years of Reagan, from the Carter administration. There have been efforts by Republican and Democratic administrations to try to solve this. But the State Department, the Defense Department, and so many areas of the Bush administration are now under just lockdown by these American Zionists who couldn't care less how many Palestinians are blown up and, frankly, couldn't care less how many Israeli Jews are blown up. They just don't care. Add to that, you have these Christian Zionists who just drool over the idea of constant and continual war in the Middle East because in their sick, perverted minds, this is some sort of biblical fulfillment or fulfillment of a biblical prophecy of this perverted idea they have of Jesus Christ returning to stand on what? All these bloody corpses? I hate these people. You know, I really, really loathe them. I don't know what to talk about where it concerns the Middle East. That part of the Middle East. This is going to sound terribly jingoistic on my part, but Americans are not dying there. Yes, we had a couple of military escort or private, again, private contractors who were blown up in Gaza in a mine, a landmine. But American soldiers are not there. Whatever time we have that we focus on the deaths of military things, to me, it has to be Iraq and to a lesser degree Afghanistan. I have spent so many programs talking about the Middle East. I have interviewed so many people, from people with the IDF to Mossad agents to Palestinian freedom fighters to people in Hamas. I've done this since 1987, and our little 2 cents worth of contribution does nothing. The situation in that part of the world, to me, is almost beyond repair. I used to believe in a two-state solution. I no longer do, because, you know, that's a definition of insanity, continuing to do or think the same thing over and over again, anticipating a different outcome when the same outcome occurs. To me, the only solution is a purely secular state. Call it Israel, call it Palestine, I don't care. But a purely secular state where Israelis and Palestinians are on absolute equal footing. Now, that immediately dilutes and ends Israel as being a Jewish state. I understand that. It becomes then, one would hope that they would have a constitution that would keep it a secular, Semitic state, Arab and Jew. I have read everything I could read, from books by Noam Chomsky to books by, what's his name before he was assassinated? Well, it's still his name, but he was assassinated. Meir Kahane, and everything in between. Chomsky being absolutely anti-Zionist, Kahane being absolutely pro-Zionist. And I've tried to read 8 or 9 books scattered in between those two extremist points of view. All for nothing. So that's all I can say. To the person who sent me the email, you're right. I do not talk about the Middle East. I do not talk about the Jews and the Palestinians. It just literally makes my heart bleed to think of the innocent death, whether it's Jewish or Palestinian. The bombings and the attacks by the IDF and the suicide bombings and the attacks in retaliation. And it just goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. 16 years now. The death and destruction, the slaughter of innocents on both sides is just, it's just vile. That has to be hell. That has to be living, brimstone-laden hell. And I don't know how to talk about it. So I don't want to. I hope you'll accept that. All right, I'll take one call on it, but my producer says, but that's as far as I want to go. Gary is calling from Colorado Springs. Gary, welcome to the program.
Hey there, good afternoon.
Actually, it's evening here in Atlanta.
Yeah, I know, but it's so refreshing to hear somebody rational, but it just can't be that late in the
day. Okay, there you go.
It's almost like morning when one gets to listen to your program. After listening to some of the other stuff that passes for programming on radios these days.
I hear that, but thank you for saying it.
Your monologue here about the Christian Zionist movement, mm-hmm. and some of the damage that they do, and the fact that they really don't care about the Israeli people or the Jewish people.
They don't.
Their goal is to convert all of them to be, what do they call it, recovered Christians?
Well, yeah, it's in the Christian Bible that the Jews will have one chance, and those that convert to Christianity will get to see the face of Christ. The rest will be put to the sword.
And it's their desire to bring that about within their lifetime. And living where I do in Colorado Springs, I get to hear a lot of stories about that and read a lot of stories about it. Because we have a U.S. Air Force Academy here in town.
Right.
And there's a tremendous godly presence there at that academy. And it really seeps through the local community, the local military community especially.
Yeah, plus you've got all those right-wing Christian groups that have their headquarters out there, too, in Colorado Springs. Yeah.
Yes, tons of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I need to run, but it's just very profound. It'll be interesting seeing some of the articles you're getting your material from,
mm-hmm.
and I'll probably find that on your website.
Thanks, Gary.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate you checking in. I'm sorry you had to make a dash, but Yeah, and as far as being accused of being an anti-Semite when I talk about this, I'm so beyond that. I mean, I couldn't care less. I went through that back in the 80s, the late 80s, just bringing up the topic. I made the Jewish Zionists in the Atlanta area, and people used to pick up the program at WSB, just absolutely go frothingly, mouth-screaming in a rage because I brought up the Palestinian issue. So, the idea of being called anti-Semitic doesn't worry me a bit. I couldn't care less. The situation there is terrible, just terrible.
If a dictator's in trouble, then you give a helping hand.
We share a vision of two states, Israel and Palestine, living side by side in peace and in security.
But you'll be out of luck if you're a Palestinian.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
Need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have 2 chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
Effort in the region against peace.
Only he means that, see? Stupid bastard. All right, Charles is calling from Augusta, Georgia. Hey, Charles.
Mike, how are you doing?
Doing fine, sir. How are you?
I'm doing okay, Mike. I tell you, I like when you don't talk about a subject.
You do?
Yeah, I get.
I understand. I understand. I said an awful lot for somebody who didn't talk about
it. Oh, yeah. I don't know if you saw our senator today.
Zell Miller?
Yeah.
No? What did the fool do now?
Well, Bush probably got his biggest endorsement yet.
From Zell.
He came right and said he's voting for George Bush.
You know, I'm so old, I remember when Zell Miller was a Democrat. Used to wear cowboy boots. I used to hang out with his son, Murphy. I have been to their house up in Young Harris, Murphy's house. I have gone. Murphy has these around Labor Day parties, cookouts. He's a nice young man. He's a lawyer, married to a nice woman. They have a place up on top of I call it a mountain, they call it a hill, and they invite all their friends up from Atlanta and from Birmingham, from Nashville, and everybody goes up there, and you pitch a tent, you stay out in the field, hang out for the whole weekend. I've known Murphy for, I don't know what, Kathy, 15 years, 20 years, but his father has turned into a freak. He's just a damn freak. Why doesn't he just go ahead and be a Republican, Charles?
It's just unbelievable that this is the same person, and he likened George Bush today to Winston Churchill.
Oh, please. No, don't say that. No, don't say that.
I quote.
Where did you see that? Is that in the journal, Atlanta paper?
I was at the gym.
Yeah?
And of course, this gym, they seem to have a great fondness for Fox.
Oh, no.
And so I'm on one of those aerobic machines, and I'm sitting right there in front of Fox. And,
right.
And there he came, Britt Hume, on his 6:30 report. They did a whole segment on it.
Well, it'll be all right. Then it'll be in the Journal Constitution over here in Atlanta tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm sure it will. He said he likened him to Winston Churchill.
Winston Churchill. And he just came out and said he is voting for George Bush in 2004.
That I never thought I know Zell Miller is a hillbilly. He claims that he's a hillbilly because he's from those hills up in right where Georgia comes together with North Carolina.
Young Harris.
That's right. And but I always thought he was kind of a populist, kind of a Will Rogers type. And turns out he's nothing but a Bush lover. Oh, my God. You want to hold on?
Yes.
All right. Let me put you on hold. We got a break here. We'll come back and finish up. And the rest of your phone calls when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. My fellow Americans.
Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
Two American soldiers were killed when their Abrams battle tank was damaged by resistance fighters, U.S. officials said Wednesday, as the number of U.S. soldiers killed in combat since major fighting ended topped the wartime total. In a separate attack, seven Ukrainian troops were wounded in the first ambush of a multinational unit in the Polish sector south of Baghdad, coalition officials said. The latest deaths bring to 115 the number of American soldiers killed in combat in Iraq since President Bush declared an end to major fighting May 1st. Defense Department figures show 114 U.S. soldiers died in the active combat phase, which began March 20th. On May 1st, after a dramatic tailhook landing in a Navy jet, George W. Bush stood on the deck of the aircraft carrier USS Abraham Lincoln under a banner reading Mission Accomplished and proclaimed victory in Iraq. That declaration has proven premature, given the continuing attacks on U.S. soldiers and other targets in Iraq, and every aspect of the president's appearance on the carrier has provoked intense criticism from Bush's adversaries. Yesterday, Bush disavowed responsibility for part of that appearance, saying the Mission Accomplished banner was the work of the carrier crew. However, according to a May 15th New York Times article, the banner was one of many details attended to by Scott Sforza, a former ABC producer who was hired by the Bush campaign. Sforza and his staff were on board the Abraham Lincoln for days prior to Bush's landing and supervised every aspect of the photo op, including the banner. The Santa Ana winds that have fueled California's wildfires calmed on Wednesday, but forecasts called for Pacific Air to push fires in new and dangerous directions. At least 16 people have died in the blazes since October 21st, and more than 1,600 homes have been destroyed. Most Ground Zero workers still suffer from health care problems 2 years after September 11th, and many do not have health insurance or job security, doctors told a congressional panel Tuesday. Workers testified at a Manhattan hospital before the committee, saying they had trouble breathing and no longer had the strength to do their old jobs. More news after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They're full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
A hearse overturned on a German motorway Wednesday, shattering the coffin and ejecting the corpse onto the tarmac along with a bag of coffin nails that brought traffic to a standstill, authorities said. The driver had fallen asleep at the wheel and yanked the steering wheel round when he woke up, said a spokesman for the regional government in Dusseldorf, Western Germany. The A40 motorway was closed for an hour and there was a 4-mile backup as police collected the coffin nails and took the corpse away. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes, so you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
Tom DeLay, the loopy majority leader of the U.S. House, didn't have enough to do in Washington, so in his spare time, he's become the new czar of Texas. He swept into our state capitol early this year with a brand new scheme to redraw the boundary lines of our congressional districts. Never mind that redistricting had already been done just 2 years ago by a bipartisan panel of judges. Tom doesn't have any patience with bipartisanship, though. He didn't like those old lines because, he whined, the people just weren't electing enough Republicans to Congress. So Tom took charge of our state government, drawing a new map with congressional districts rigged to eliminate 6 to 8 Democrats. In a silent coup, he even shipped our inept governor out of state so he wouldn't get in the way while Tom himself was browbeating legislators in back rooms to force out his new map for Texas congressional seats. No Democrats were consulted, and no public hearings were held. The little czar simply ruled. And what a map he drew. It's filled with districts that look like U-turns, curlicues, squiggles, and snake trails. Take my town of Austin, which DeLay hacked up into 3 convoluted districts. This effectively leaves our state capital as the only one in the country with no U.S. representative of our own. Instead, we're now in a Houston district, a San Antonio district, and, in a tribute to the art of gross gerrymandering, a Rio Grande Valley district that looks like a Picasso snake running for 350 miles all the way from Austin to the Mexican border. It's bizarre. For example, the Tavern, a local restaurant, is in the Houston district, but its parking lot is in the San Antonio district. The University of Texas football stadium is in the San Antonio district, but its baseball field, right across the street, is in the Rio Grande Valley district. This is Jim Hightower saying, Tsar Tom is out to Sovietize our political system.
Hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, as you know. I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stephens, good day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
I'm going right there somewhere. I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll return.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Welcome back. 7:30 past the hour. By the way, if you live in the Midwest, Dr. John from Springfield, Missouri, called in and told Kathy that tonight's northern lights, the Aurora Borealis, are visible in southern Missouri. So you might want to check them out if you live on that that latitude. I guess that would include what, Kathy? Southern Missouri, that would include Oklahoma, northern Oklahoma, Arkansas, all the way across. One good thing about these monstrous solar flares. Now, we were talking with Charles in Augusta about Zell Miller.
Mike, you know, I think Zell made a little trip up to the White House after Bush's speech yesterday.
Yeah?
I think they felt like they needed a little help. And who better to help them deliver on that, but Zell Miller. Focusing on the lukewarm Democrats, the lukewarm independents, to let them know that he doesn't need to go through a Democratic primary fight.
Yeah.
That right now that our man is George Bush.
It's just astonishing. Like I said, I'm old enough to remember when Zell Miller was a real Democrat, and I don't know. He's not that much older than me, but he must already be going through just a total breakdown inside his brain. You know, I mean, just think chunks breaking off or something. I don't know.
Well, there was some mention of possibly him attempting to, or some possibility of him getting Rumsfeld's position if he decides not to.
Let me tell you something. That's when I go to New Zealand. Or maybe Canada. That's it. Zell Miller in a cabinet position. Adioski. See you later.
It was mentioned, Mike. That's all I can say.
Yeah, well, okay. When I get home tonight and pour myself a Jack Black, I'll also be putting, start digging out the trunks and the suitcases. Charles, thanks for checking in.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, so you have a nice evening. Zell Miller, Secretary of Defense. Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. All right, where are we? Luke is calling from Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Luke.
Hey, Mike.
I always want to ask you, how's Matthew and Mark and John? Never mind. Never
well, that's
mind.
Okay. I got a brother, John. So.
Do you? Okay. All right.
It's just like I say, that's just where they stopped on the list.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I was looking today on, I can't remember which search engine in particular it was, and I was noticing one thing. We got to start watching our media when we see something reported.
Mm-hmm.
I was noticing today who two of the reporters are covering Wesley Clark. That wonderful duo of C.C. Connolly and Catherine Seeley.
C.C. Connolly from the Washington Post,
uh-huh.
The lion, the one who tried single-handedly to paint Al Gore as a complete liar.
Oh, yes, Miss Love Canal herself.
Yeah, oh, God, I despise that woman.
Well, that blew me away when Washington Post went so mad over Glass. I wrote Kurtz 2-3 times, said, well, what about when CC was doing this? Why weren't you all so upset then?
Nah, you're not going to get an answer. Howard Kurtz is just a little squirmy media whore himself.
But, no, I just noticed that today. I hadn't even paid attention, you know, who was covering who yet.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just happened to see both of them are covering him, so be careful when you see anything written about him.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I noticed... I've got to be out tomorrow night, so that's why I called tonight, I'm not going to get the call about Kucinich. I saw a thing what's it called, the Harvard Crimson?
Harvard Crimson, right.
Talked about the fact that Kucinich turned down Chris the Screamer.
Yes, he won't go on and who else has turned Chris Matthews down? Maybe Howard is Kucinich is the only one.
Yeah, they were said that he still hadn't like done Lieberman or Clark.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I know they just did Kerry and they did Edwards
and, yeah.
But
Al Sharpton.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about Carol Moseley Braun.
I haven't seen her, you know what I mean.
Right.
Check around sometimes to keep an eye on and see what they're talking about.
Yeah.
You're talking about the press conference. I had two different stories on this. Now, tell me which one you think's better.
Okay.
Do you remember years and years ago, Robin Williams did a Reagan ripoff about doing a press conference with the earpieces in his ear, and he would keep getting other radio broadcasts?
I think I vaguely remember that.
I wonder if that's what happened with George the other day. Was he getting other stations coming out across them things?
Fiance and Friance.
Yeah.
I have no idea. You never know with George because he's evil stupid. There's a difference between being stupid, being, you know, benign stupid, just stupid. There's an evil stupid, like the Chucky, that little doll.
And,
you know, evil stupid is George.
Well, it's like we used to say about Nixon. It wasn't the fact that he was a crook. It's the fact he was a stupid crook.
There you go. Yeah.
No. Do you remember something they did a couple of months ago? Hang on a second. Sorry. Something they did a couple of months ago. I remember seeing these reports. They used to have these things called flash mobs.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Is that what Bush has now with these press conferences, flash press conferences? You know, we don't tell anybody you got 30 minutes to get ready.
Maybe the inverse of a flash mob because, you know, the reporters just dutifully show up,
yeah.
You know, bah, bah.
I mean, there's no warning.
No.
You know what I mean? I mean, it'd be interesting for them to say we're going to practice to get this scheduled for a week from now.
Yeah.
So people could actually watch it.
No, they don't want.
I mean, you know, because no notice.
Yeah.
And of course, he holds them during the middle of the day, so everybody's at work.
Sure, sure.
And then the
Puppy Dog Media at night, the television branch of the Puppy Dog Media will put the best spin on the sound bites and clean them up. That's one of the reasons we try to play the ones that make him look like the jackass moron that he is, because we know it's not going to be on network news or Fox or CNN or MSNBC or any of the cable channels.
Well, you saw now that like Kerry and Clark both on this thing on the banner. At least they're getting their machines up and running, because they were out, you know, right after he said it, saying, "Wait a minute, you can't blame this on the sailors."
Oh, sure he can.
At least they're raising it up. The press wouldn't have brought it up.
Right. That's true. Hey, thanks, Luke.
All right,
sir. You have a nice evening. Simple Scotty coming up here in a few minutes. Stick around. You don't want to miss this. I guess we'll wait till about 15 minutes. A break right after, or the segment right after the break at the bottom of the hour. Simple Scotty McClellan. We have eight of the sound bites from his press conference today that you're going to enjoy. A couple more items I want to drop in here. According to the Associated Press, most, not a few, not a minority, most Ground Zero workers still suffer from health problems 2 years after September 11th. And many do not have health insurance or job security. Now, what's going on? A bunch of doctors are testifying or testified today before a congressional panel. Testified yesterday. Doctors who are treating these people. What they're looking for is some government money to help with the treatment. Several of the workers testified at a Manhattan hospital where the committee has convened. I don't know if this is a committee or subcommittee, but they went to the Manhattan Hospital. Now, you remember, you still see people walking around your town wearing the FDNY baseball cap or the NYPD baseball cap, right? The heroes. You remember the heroes? This happens so often. They're just forgotten now. It doesn't matter. Several of the workers testified at this hearing saying they had trouble breathing. A lot of them are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, just like guys that came back from Vietnam. A lot of them no longer had the physical strength to do their jobs. These are young people. One guy, David Rapp, a construction worker who spent 5 months at the World Trade Center site and now carries an oxygen tank and uses three inhalers. He says, "I cannot tell you how hard it is living like this. The fear of not being able to take my next breath is unbearable." This worker said he built docks and rebuilt cars before September 11, 2001, but could no longer take out his garbage or change a flat tire. Another guy, John Graham, a carpenter, an emergency services worker who spent 3 days a week at the site for several months, said he has asthma, sometimes too sick to work. He said, "I'm a chronically ill man who's anxious about my ability to support my family." Now, two doctors, co-directors of a federal screening program at Mount Sinai Medical Center in New York for Ground Zero workers, said they had examined 8,000 of these workers, 75% of whom, that would be 6,000 of them, had persistent respiratory problems. Now, while I'm sharing this story with you, keep in mind the lies that were put out by Christy Whitman's EPA, apparently forced by the Bush crime family, that the air was breathable, there was no problem. Think of that. Just think of these bastards. Oh, my God, I hate them. Oh, my God, I hate them. 40% of the workers, according to these medical screeners, suffer from mental health problems. 40%. 40% do not have health insurance, and a third are unemployed. The doctors said the program had only enough funding to continue to screen and monitor the workers for 5 years. That's it. The two doctors said the workers are at risk for developing cancer in the next decade. They are seeking funding to screen more than 10,000 workers a year for the next 20 years. Now, think of this in the context of the $87 billion that is to be spent on Iraq and Afghanistan. Think of it. Forget that. Think of the $20 billion that George Bush is ripping out of what's left of the U.S. Treasury, taking out of the pockets of taxpayers to give to his buddies at Bechtel, whatever the hell it is, Halliburton, Kellogg, Brown and Root. Think of it. Think of it. Think of Bush's cronies, that are buying gasoline in Kuwait for 70 cents a gallon. The Iraqis pay 11 cents a gallon. And Bush's buddies are charging $1.80 a gallon. Think of it. Just think of it. These people are disgusting. They're just, oh, my God. Are there words I can say, Kathy, I haven't used that I can say on the radio about this? I can't think of any. The first responders who didn't die are suffering, 75% of them, health problems. Out of 8,000 workers, this wasn't some little group, oh, let's test these 10 people. Oops, six of them have problems. 6,000 out of 8,000 workers are sick. They're begging for money from this corrupt administration. Oh, we got $20 billion to go to Iraq and funnel its way back into the Bush crime family pockets. Yeah, yeah, we do. Where the homeless have their homes. So we prayed within a different God that there are flowers. But we call religion our friend. We're so worried about saving our souls. Afraid that God will take his toll that we forget to begin. But who will save your soul when it comes to the very
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your throat is all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Tom DeLay, the loopy majority leader of the U.S. House, didn't have enough to do in Washington, so in his spare time, he's become the new czar of Texas. He swept into our state capitol early this year with a brand new scheme to redraw the boundary lines of our congressional districts. Never mind that redistricting had already been done just 2 years ago by a bipartisan panel of judges. Tom doesn't have any patience with bipartisanship, though. He didn't like those old lines because, he whined, the people just weren't electing enough Republicans to Congress. So Tom took charge of our state government, drawing a new map with congressional districts rigged to eliminate 6 to 8 Democrats. In a silent coup, he even shipped our inept governor out of state so he wouldn't get in the way while Tom himself was browbeating legislators in back rooms to force out his new map for Texas congressional seats. No Democrats were consulted, and no public hearings were held. The little czar simply ruled. And what a map he drew. It's filled with districts that look like U-turns, curlicues, squiggles, and snake trails. Take my town of Austin, which DeLay hacked up into 3 convoluted districts. This effectively leaves our state capital as the only one in the country with no U.S. representative of our own. Instead, we're now in the Houston district, a San Antonio district, and, in a tribute to the art of gross gerrymandering, a Rio Grande Valley district that looks like a Picasso snake running for 350 miles all the way from Austin to the Mexican border. It's bizarre. For example, the Tavern, a local restaurant, is in the Houston district, but its parking lot is in the San Antonio district. The University of Texas football stadium is in the San Antonio district, but its baseball field, right across the street, is in the Rio Grande Valley district. This is Jim Hightower saying, Tsar Tom is out to Sovietize our political system.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Frank is calling. He is our Ontario, Canada Bureau Chief. Frank, welcome to the program.
Hello there.
Hey, how you doing?
I was not too bad. I was watching the Fifth Estate that you mentioned at the top of the program there.
Yeah? How was it?
And it was quite enlightening. It went through a lot of the stuff that between the Bush crime family, Bin Laden, and Saudi connections that I've heard discussed many times here, and I've read about everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
They had interviews with Robert Baer, who served with the CIA for 21 years,
mm-hmm.
and also they were speaking with John Charles Brizard, who had investigated Houston. Part of the French intelligence services even before 9/11.
Yeah, he's the one that partner came out with the book. I forget the title, but we were quoting it about a year and a half ago.
Yeah, called The Forbidden Truth.
There you go, Forbidden Truth, yeah.
Yeah, and they were, and then also they interviewed Charles Bill White, who graduated from Harvard Business School with an MBA.
Uh-huh.
He was the one who brought the connection between Jim Bass, who is the North American representative, business representative for the Salem Bin Laden, brother of Osama.
Right.
And also gone on to bring out the recycled money going between the U.S. and Saudi Arabia and coming back,
mm-hmm.
into which then drove this whole BCCI scandal with the when it broke back in the late 80s.
Right.
So overall, it was an excellent show, and it's not, as far as I'm concerned, a lot of these things, many people would call them conspiracy theories, but a lot of this is actually conspiracy fact, and one of the things that they brought out near the end of the show was the fact that there was this great big conspiracy of silence.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Rumsfeld there a few weeks ago. I don't know nothing, you know, and all this nonsense.
Well, that's the conspiracy, Frank, is this conspiracy of silence. These reports, I know the BBC has done them, now the CBC has done them, the investigative journalists in the print medium have done them. I don't think an in-depth program has been a frontline in this country on public television came the closest to it. But it's my understanding that the CBC main channel, that's just, is that a government-run channel or is that private? You know, like ABC or CBS or NBC in this country.
It's quasi-private. I mean, they accept advertisements from regular businesses.
Right.
But it is government fund. There's a base government funding.
Right.
And then on top of that, they solicit advertising.
Well, it's awesome to me. Yeah, it's awesome to me that
BBC or the Australian Broadcasting run similarly.
It impresses me that that these networks in English-speaking foreign countries. Especially Canada, since it is the United States' major trading partner, Canada is, and vice versa. Secondly, we share the longest undefended border in the world, Canada and the United States. There was a lot of talk. I'm sure this was taught in your elementary school Canadian history class. There was always a lot of talk of the United States and Canada being one country. And what it's my understanding that what stalled that or what prevented that was the French-speaking people of Quebec who and the French-speaking people of France, who said, hell no.
So, well, maybe it's just for the better today with the government situation, you know, where you live.
Isn't that the truth?
You know, I still really enjoy going down there when I can, and I really want to see people stay in the U.S. and make it become what it once was. It's just ridiculous that, you know.
Yeah, let's hope that happens. Frank,
it's now the follower. Yeah. That's not right.
No, it isn't. Frank, thanks for checking in, Bill.
No problem. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, sir. You have a nice evening.
In high places. They've stolen our country and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Scientists say we should learn from history before we go all out with hydrogen. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Fuel cells that use hydrogen produce electricity and emit only water. If hydrogen fuel cells replace the internal combustion engine, they could eliminate problems with smog and oil spills. But some people say we need to examine all the impacts of this fuel before we start using it. Tracy Tromp is a physicist at the California Institute of Technology. She's the lead author of a study in the journal Science about the potential impact of a hydrogen economy on the environment. Tromp says hydrogen could leak out during fueling, storage, or any other point along the way. She says too much of this loose gas could disrupt the recovery of the Earth's protective ozone layer. Tromp says this is not a reason to dismiss the idea of using hydrogen-powered fuel cells.
We're not advocating scrapping hydrogen fuel cells. We think they're a great idea. But we're at a unique position at this point in time. The hydrogen fuel cells are a technology that's currently under development. We're not set down any particular technology path. So what we're hoping is to force a dialogue to start thinking about the environment and which of these technologies are most environmentally friendly.
Tromp says that if we can anticipate problems, we can work to avoid them. She says that did not happen before modern economies were built on a foundation of fossil fuel. The consequences included air pollution and widespread emissions of greenhouse gases. Tromp says people are working to better understand how hydrogen behaves in the environment. She says that information is critical to predicting and monitoring the impact of hydrogen fuel cells as a common source of energy. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like From Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Hey, conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. Here's more Mike Malloy.
The Sydney, Australia, Morning Herald, in today's paper, has an article that I think should be, it's a clarion call to anyone who is still not paying attention in this country. I don't mean the right-wingers. They couldn't care less. Republicans, people like Zell Miller, they are part of the effort to destroy this country, for sure. But the Sydney Morning Herald says a former Pentagon officer turned whistleblower says a group of hawks in this corrupt Bush administration, including Cheney, is running a shadow foreign policy that is absolutely contravening Washington's official line. Huh? Her name is Karen Kwiatkowski, a former Air Force lieutenant colonel. She worked in the office. She was a Middle East specialist in the office of the Undersecretary for Defense for Policy. That's the group headed by Douglas Feith, who is another American Zionist. But what Ms. Kwiatkowski says is, quote, what these people are doing now makes the Iran-Contra national security scandal look like amateur hour. It's worse than Iran-Contra, worse than what happened in Vietnam. George Bush, continuing the quote, George Bush isn't in control. The country's been hijacked. Key government areas of neoconservative concern are politically staffed. I mean, Jesus, here is a lieutenant colonel who worked, she's a 20-year veteran, okay? She retired this year after 20-year service, Middle East specialist in the office of Douglas Feith. Bush isn't in control. The country's been hijacked. What these people are doing makes Iran-Contra look like amateur hour. It's worse than Iran-Contra, worse than what happened in Vietnam. She went on to describe what she calls a subversion of constitutional limits on executive power and a co-optation through deceit of a large segment of the Congress. And she adds that in order to take that first step, Iraq, lies had to be told to Congress to bring them on board. Mrs. Kwiatkowski said the pursuit of national security decisions often bypassed what she calls, quote, civil service and active duty military professionals, end quote, and was handled by these right-wing political appointees who share the same neocon ideological ties. Is this, hello, anybody out there, is this, does this not affect you as the way it does me? Do we understand what's happening? I laugh. Why not? This is what we've been talking about, you and I, on this program for how long now? 2 years? Huh? The Sydney Morning Herald says there was speculation earlier this year that such a group had emerged in the Bush administration and that it was behind the U.S. attack on an Iraqi convoy in Syria back in June. The New York Times quoted a former Defense Intelligence Agency senior officer as saying that many in the government believe that incursion was an effort by ideologues in the Bush administration to disrupt cooperation between the U.S. and Syria. Ms. Kwiatkowski said there was an extra-governmental network operating outside normal structures and practices, what she calls, quote, a network of political appointees in key positions who felt they needed to take some action to make things happen in foreign affairs any way they could. She said Pentagon personnel and the Defense Intelligence Agency were pressured to favorably alter assessments and reports, yada, 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 yada. George Bush isn't in control, she says. The country's been hijacked by a group of neo-fascists, that's my term, led by Dick Cheney. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. What else we got tonight, Kathy? I mean, what do you say about something like that? You know, you just report it. Sydney Morning Herald. Was it in the L.A. Times? No. New York Times? No. Washington Post? No. Chicago Tribune? No. Atlanta Journal-Constitution? No. Dallas Morning News? No. Seattle Post-Intelligencer? No. Where was it? Sydney Morning Herald. Okay. All right, let's go to Simple Scotty McClellan. Okay, today... press briefing. We start out with Helen Thomas. You ready to rock with these, Catherine? All right, we start with Helen Thomas. She wants to know about the six Iraqis we killed, as reported in the New York Times. Here's what Helen says. Did you read the story in the New York Times, Scott, on the killing of the six Iraqis? And they couldn't get any information on how it happened.
I think that, again, it goes to my point that I'm making, is that these killers, these terrorists in Iraq, target innocent civilians because they're trying to deny the Iraqi people a peaceful,
quack, quack,
free, and prosperous future.
Oh, Jesus
and
Christ.
We will stay the course because this is important
for
the future of the Iraqi
people,
and important for
future of the world.
The future of the world.
Make a world
we're
a
working
safer
to make
place.
The world a safer place.
Yeah, okay, yeah, good, Scott, yeah. Okay, a reporter wants to know about Bush's stonewalling the 911 commission, right? No information. The information needed. Thomas McKean, former Republican governor of New Jersey, has threatened to issue subpoenas for the presidential daily briefings. And Bush, of course, and the Nazis who run our country now have made it very clear that they're not giving up anything. And the reason for it, of course, is because those daily briefings and the information contained in the documents that they will not produce prove, I think, beyond a reasonable doubt, in other words, it would stand up in court, that key members of the Bush administration, including George Bush himself, were complicit in the slaughter of 3,000 people in this country. They were complicit in keeping our military on the ground when this country was under attack. They are murderers. They are traitors. They should be tried for treason and dealt with according to whatever the punishment is for treason. So the reporter wants to know about the stonewalling that's coming from the Bush administration where it concerns the 911 commission. The reporter says, Scott, have you reached a deal yet with the 911 commission about the president's daily brief? And did I understand the president correctly, Scott, to say that he would, in fact, consider letting them take a look at some of these things for some specific dates? What's your understanding, Scott, of what the president volunteered yesterday to do for the commission?
There's one, we've already provided unprecedented cooperation and access to information for the commission. I think that they will tell you that. More than 2 million pages of documents that we've provided to the commission, hundreds of interviews. First of all, there are lots of ways to provide information to the commission, and we will continue working with them to resolve any of those remaining issues.
How about lots of ways to provide information to the commission? How about just handing it to them, Scotty? Huh? How about just... What are you talking about? Smoke signals? Long-distance phone calls? Morse code? What? Why don't you just give them what the commission is seeking? After all, the commission is working in the interest of the American people and national security. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, the interests of the American people and national security are at cross purposes with the Bush crime family. That's right. Never mind. Stupid question on my part, Scott. Okay, Bannergate questions begin. Bannergate. Mission accomplished. Reporter says, Scott, did the president misspeak yesterday in the Rose Garden when he was talking about the banner that was behind him when he was on the USS Abraham Lincoln? Did he misspeak when he said the White House...
That's not what he said.
Oh.
That's not what he said.
Oh, okay.
Do you recall what he said?
I think.
He said that it was put up by members of the USS Abraham Lincoln saying that their mission was accomplished. It was the Navy, the people on board the ship, who had the idea of this banner and made the suggestion because they wanted to have a way to commemorate the fact that these sailors and the crew on board the ship had completed their mission after a very lengthy deployment.
Listen to these bastards. Listen to them. Listen to this little piglet. Huh? Listen to him. Listen to him. Listen, it wasn't us. We didn't put that up. We didn't expect the American people to see that banner over George Bush's manly body and come to any conclusion that the mission was accomplished. We didn't think that. Listen to this piglet. Another Bannergate question. Scott, the president also said that his advance team didn't have any part in it, and you're now saying that you actually did create the banner.
That's not what he said. That is not what he said. Look back at what he said.
Oh, okay.
We said all along, and we said previously, that it was the idea of the banner, for the banner, was suggested by those on board the ship.
Yeah.
And they asked if we could help take care of the production of the banner. And we were more than happy to do so because this is a very nice way to pay tribute to our sailors and aviators and men and women in the military who were on board that ship for a job well done.
Listen to this piglet. Listen to this snotty little piglet. Oh, I remember. Yeah. Piglet. Nasty, nasty group of little Nazis. Still incredulous, another reporter says, Scott, are you denying now that the president had the distinct intention at the time of that speech that Americans would see that picture and see that banner and think the mission in Iraq had been accomplished, the overall mission? Any reasonable person, Scott, would look at the photographs and look at the video and say the president is saying that what the U.S. forces have been doing in the Iraq theater is essentially over.
What I'm saying is that this was about paying tribute to our sailors and aviators and naval officers on board the USS Lincoln. That's what this was about. Let's keep that in context. And the president was pleased to personally go on board the USS Lincoln and thank our men and women in the military for an outstanding job, for accomplishing their mission, and for and when they were returning home to the United States.
Accomplished and think great, the war's over.
The idea for the banner and the idea for the sign was suggested by those on board the ship, and we were pleased to help them with that.
What the reporter said was the president did not want Americans to see mission accomplished and think great, the war's over. Oh, no. The piglet says, you know, this was to thank our men and women. They put the banner up to thank themselves for such an outstanding job, for accomplishing their mission. And you know, they returned to the United States. So they were all sitting around in the hold or the bottom or the basement of the ship. I don't know. I've never served in the Navy. I'm the press secretary. I don't know. What do you call that part underneath the deck? Is it deck? And underneath the deck. Okay, and they were sitting down there drinking grog. Isn't that what sailors drink? Grog? And going, arg, ho, 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 arg, ho, ho, ho. And they were sitting there drinking grog, and someone said, oh, me thinks we ought to have a banner out there congratulating ourselves on our accomplishment of the mission. Arg, ho, ho, ho. What do you think there, Stumpy? I may say I agree with you. Let's put a banner up. Okay, what do we say on it? Well, let's say mission accomplished. Aye, that's a good one. Arg, give me some more grog. Is that what happened? Is that what happened? That's a pretty good pirate. All right, we're finished.
I got you the wrong costume for Halloween.
Yes, you did. Your microphone is open when you said that, right? Okay, good. Because, you got to open your mic when you talk to me, because if I answer you and it sounds, you know, I sound like a dork, you know, just like little sounds flowing. Ooh, there goes another one. All right.
Kind of like Rumsfeld.
Kind of like Rumsfeld. All right. Back to simple Scotty McClellan, the press briefing today. Listen to the way the language has changed about Iraq. Now, we've pointed this out several times. It's incredible. The reporter says, Scott, in the 6 months since the president declared an end to major combat operations, there have been more than 200 fatalities, American fatalities, more than 1,000 American wounded. Weapons have not been found. Saddam remains at large. Was it a mistake for the president to tell the American people 6 months ago, in essence, the worst is behind us and that the United States had prevailed in Iraq?
Go back and look at his remarks, and that there are dangers that still exist, and that there's still a lot of important work to complete. That's what the president said in his remarks. And yes, major combat operations were over. That's why he said that at that point. But we continue to work to
better future.
Help the Iraqi people realize a better future. This is about helping the Iraqi people
peace, free,
realize a free,
peaceful,
democratic and prosperous future.
Right. Now, if you remember, the attack was presented to the American public and the world. The attack on Iraq was about nuclear weapons ready to be launched. It was about biological and chemical weapons ready to be scattered across the surface of the earth. And the hideous, dangerous threat posed by Saddam to his neighbors and to, I don't know what, good Christians everywhere. That was the argument presented, wasn't it? Remember, Wolfowitz said weapons of mass destruction were the one issue everybody could agree on to justify the attack. Remember that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. That's not what it was about. We went to war because Saddam would not open the schools. Now, here's Russell Mokyber. A little fun here with Russell. Let's go ahead and play it, and let's see if we all can figure out what's being said. Russell, and then Simple Scotty.
Earlier this year, General Boykin said the following, quote, George Bush was not elected by a majority of voters in the United States. He was appointed by God, unquote. Does the president believe that God played any role in getting him to the White House?
The president has addressed that matter previously. Yeah, no, he's addressed that matter previously. I'm not going to go back through it.
So Russell has another question, okay? I've got another question, Simple Scotty.
The second question is, yesterday the president was asked about troop strength levels through next year, and he said it was a trick question. In what sense was it a trick question?
Well, he went on to talk about how he relies on his military commanders in the region, General Abizaid in this instance, to make the decisions in terms of what is needed, and he will continue to do that and continue to ask the questions, do you have the resources you need?
Why was it a trick question?
I'm sorry?
Why was it a trick question?
Oh, because it's the military leaders who make those decisions, and that's why.
Oh, my God. Why was it a trick question? Because it's the military leaders who make those decisions. George, you stupid jackass, repeat after me, although it won't make any sense to you. Commander in... Oh, never mind.
They're all swept away. In the tidal destruction... The moral malaise. The elastic retreat swings the clothes of play. As the last wave uncovers the new vangled way. But you need.
Anyone who gets heartburn knows how irritating it can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant Maximum Strength Mylanta liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you're ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for juicy gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
Prepare to be astonished!
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Did you know that you can get the best of Progressive Talk Radio on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145?
Oh, really?
Well, that's remarkable.
Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145 is loaded with political talk radio from the other side.
Hurrah!
Kick it off your morning with Doug Steffens' Good Day from 5 a.m. till noon Eastern Time, followed by the Tom Hartman Show from noon to 3 p.m. Then get different perspectives from different show hosts on Radio Free Speed Zone from 3 to 5 p.m.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera then takes the reins from 5 p.m. till 7, followed by All American Talk Radio from 7 p.m. till 9. Then get ready to fire up your night with the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, all live Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145, powered by the only progressive talk radio network, i.e. America Radio Network.
So what do you want, a medal?
Well, isn't that special?
The Tom Hartman Show.
Ta-da, we have caught somebody doing something right. Yes, indeed, folks. Dennis Kucinich. Dennis Kucinich has introduced a bill into the United States Congress called the Benjamin Franklin True Patriot Act. And Dennis Kucinich's law would repeal sections of the USA Patriot Act that authorize sneak and peek searches, warrantless library, medical, and financial record services, and the detention and deportation of non-citizens without meaningful judicial review. Beyond the Patriot Act, the bill also cements the fundamental right of attorney-client privilege and restores transparency in the Department of Justice and Homeland Security by revoking FOIA, Freedom of Information Act secrecy orders, along with other important provisions. As Dennis Kucinich said, and I quote, after September 11th, Americans did not authorize the deterioration of the first, 4th, 5th, 6th, 8th, and 14th Amendments.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Time for Mr. Saddam Hussein to disarm. He'll say, oh, I'm disarming, after he said he has no arms.
Jesus, God. I mean, can it be any worse? Is it possible to be any worse in this country right now than it is? I mean, I understand. I wasn't here, but my mother has told me that in the Depression it was awful. I was a teeny tiny baby towards the end of it, but I've been told that World War II was even awful in this country for the people who were waiting for the soldiers to come home. I remember the hell in this country of Vietnam and the Nixon administration. So, you know, there's historical, recent historical precedent for sure. But has it ever been this bad in terms of just an appalling, excruciatingly painful lack of leadership as we have right now? Now, if you believe the Ms. Kwiatkowski, the former Middle East expert in the Defense Department, too stupid to be president is just that. He's not president. It's being run by this cabal. You know, I honestly believe, and I mean this, that Dick Cheney is one of the most evil bastards ever to walk on the planet. If Dick Cheney had the resources that a Joe Stalin or a Mao or an Adolf Hitler or a Genghis Khan would have had, this thuggish, pasty white man would have used it. He would have used those resources for genocide, mass murder, the gulag, forced collectivization, just mega death. Cheney has the stench of death all over him. He is just an evil, evil man. I cannot believe that if there were a God, this guy would still be walking the planet. Let's assume there is a Christian God, and he's pulled the string on this jackass about three times, and each time Cheney seems to escape with cyborg technology. But I can't. Even Wolfowitz, who looks like the type of person that would like Jack the Ripper. Wolfowitz looks like somebody who slinks around foggy, rainy cities at 3 o'clock in the morning, slashing the throats of hookers on their way home from a night's work. You know, that's Wolfowitz. He's just, these people, I don't know, they are almost caricatures of evil stupidity or every time I see a picture of Cheney now, I'm reminded of the footage I've seen of Joe Stalin. They both have that kind of same slack-jawed, I will devour you and eat your children look. You know, that blank, dead-eyed snake look. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? All right, we have top of the hour break, and we have every single line except one is open in here, so call, okay?
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
On May 1st, after a dramatic tailhook landing in a Navy jet, George W. Bush stood on the deck of the aircraft carrier USS Abraham Lincoln under a banner reading Mission Accomplished and proclaimed victory in Iraq. That declaration has proven premature, given the continuing attacks on U.S. soldiers and other targets in Iraq, and every aspect of the president's appearance on the carrier has provoked intense criticism from Bush's adversaries. Yesterday, Bush disavowed responsibility for part of that appearance, saying the Mission Accomplished banner was the work of the carrier crew. However, according to a May 15th New York Times article, the banner was one of many details attended to by Scott Sforza, a former ABC producer who was hired by the Bush campaign. Sforza and his staff were on board the Abraham Lincoln for days prior to Bush's landing and supervised every aspect of the photo op, including the banner. Two American soldiers were killed when their Abrams battle tank was damaged by resistance fighters, U.S. officials said Wednesday, as the number of U.S. soldiers killed in combat since major fighting ended topped the wartime total. In a separate attack, seven Ukrainian troops were wounded in the first ambush of a multinational unit in the Polish sector south of Baghdad, coalition officials said. The latest deaths bring to 115 the number of American soldiers killed in combat in Iraq since President Bush declared an end to major fighting May 1st. Defense Department figures show 114 U.S. soldiers died in the active combat phase, which began March 20th. Most Ground Zero workers still suffer from health care problems 2 years after September 11th, and many do not have health insurance or job security, doctors told a congressional panel Tuesday. Workers testified at a Manhattan hospital before the committee, saying they had trouble breathing and no longer had the strength to do their old jobs. The Santa Ana winds that have fueled California's wildfires calmed on Wednesday, but forecasts called for Pacific Air to push fires in new and dangerous directions. At least 16 people have died in the blazes since October 21st, and more than 1,600 homes have been destroyed. More news after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They are full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
Most blacklists are designed to intimidate. But thousands of Americans are clamoring to join one drawn up by the National Rifle Association. Actor Dustin Hoffman was so dismayed to find his name missing from the NRA's 19-page blacklist that he wrote to the powerful pro-gun lobby group begging to be included. As a supporter of comprehensive anti-gun safety measures, I was deeply disappointed when I discovered my name was not on the list, Hoffman wrote in a letter to the NRA.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
While Mike was putting up his own for sale sign, someone was helping his neighbors, John and Diane, with plans to sell their home. As Mike spent Saturday figuring out legal agreements and guessing his home's value, someone was preparing a counteroffer so John could help at the school fundraiser. And while Mike and his wife were reevaluating their asking price for the third time, someone was closing the sale on John and Diane's home. Work with someone who'll work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life.
Tom DeLay, the loopy majority leader of the U.S. House, didn't have enough to do in Washington, so in his spare time, he's become the new czar of Texas. He swept into our state capitol early this year with a brand new scheme to redraw the boundary lines of our congressional districts. Never mind that redistricting had already been done just 2 years ago by a bipartisan panel of judges. Tom doesn't have any patience with bipartisanship, though. He didn't like those old lines because, he whined, the people just weren't electing enough Republicans to Congress. So Tom took charge of our state government, drawing a new map with congressional districts rigged to eliminate 6 to 8 Democrats. In a silent coup, he even shipped our inept governor out of state so he wouldn't get in the way while Tom himself was browbeating legislators in back rooms to force out his new map for Texas congressional seats. No Democrats were consulted, and no public hearings were held. The little czar simply ruled. And what a map he drew. It's filled with districts that look like U-turns, curlicues, squiggles, and snake trails. Take my town of Austin, which DeLay hacked up into 3 convoluted districts. This effectively leaves our state capital as the only one in the country with no U.S. representative of our own. Instead, we're now in a Houston district, a San Antonio district, and, in a tribute to the art of gross gerrymandering, a Rio Grande Valley district that looks like a Picasso snake running for 350 miles all the way from Austin to the Mexican border. It's bizarre. For example, The Tavern, a local restaurant, is in the Houston district, but its parking lot is in the San Antonio district. The University of Texas football stadium is in the San Antonio district, but its baseball field, right across the street, is in the Rio Grande Valley district. This is Jim Hightower saying, Czar Tom is out to Sovietize our political system.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Hey, and there's Nancy in the background. Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air? Oh.
Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy. On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Don't forget, tomorrow in the first hour of the program, Dennis Kucinich will join us. All right, we're at 800-TALK-YES. Jody is calling from Arlington Heights, Illinois. Hey, Jody, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I just want to let you know that yesterday, right after the purported press conference, I happen to have a WGN on because I don't get too much else in my on my radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I was waiting for someone in my car, and I actually heard people on WGN, sort of the announcer, the guy who was hosting the show, John Williams,
right,
starting to be a little critical of George Bush. Basically, he's like, what was, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but what was wrong with him today?
He was on drugs.
Well, yeah, I mean, I never said that. So, but people, of course, were calling in to defend him. One woman said, you know, hey, he's starting to feel the pressure and he's losing it, you know. And everybody else jumped all over. Oh, how can the press ask him these questions? Like, the question they zeroed in on was, how can they ask him if he can guarantee that the troops will be gone?
That wasn't the question.
Right. She said, well, she did say, can you...
Yeah, the word guarantee wasn't in there.
Right. It was something similar. I did look it up. Because I sent him... I got home. I said, oh, I can't take these people anymore. And I'm writing him an email because, for once, there's actually a slight opening, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent him this big, long email, and I even put in information about, you know, hey, look and see what happens. They stage manage everything, this whole, you know...
Now, you wrote this to the talk show host. John,
yes, I did.
John Williams. Okay.
And I actually got a response.
Huh.
That said, should I read it to you?
Sure, go ahead.
It says, thanks, Jody. What a great comprehensive note. Well said. I try to give Bush a pass when I can. Words like suicider are endearing to some, and I know what he means.
Endearing?
He
endearing.
Right.
He's a suicider.
Right.
Oh, that's so endearing.
I don't know. But yesterday was a bad day at the podium, even for him. Thanks for doing the research on this, because I put in some facts, God forbid. I may use your note today. Well, they talked about it today for about 45 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously the powers that be said, you're not going to go any further with this.
Well, that kind of intrigues me because WGN, as you know, is owned by the Tribune Company.
Right.
And the Tribune Company is, when it was owned by McCormick way back at the turn of the century, when mm-hmm. when the paper was started, it really was a right-wing rag. But little by little, the Tribune has, Eric Zorn is there.
Right.
Even their news section. Who's the other columnist who writes on the editorial page? God, I'm drawing a blank on his name.
There's quite a few. I mean, Clarence Page, I don't know. He's an editorial guy.
Yeah,
he's actually been very harsh on a lot of things.
Yeah.
There's a bunch that I read. I can't remember.
Yeah, but the feeling I've gotten is that the news slant and the editorial slant at the Tribune is no longer totally right-wing. Sometimes it's much more moderate. Now, Tribune Broadcasting,
right,
which includes, what is it, Channel 9.
Right, and Uncle Milty.
Yeah, no, you're right. WGN and television and radio. Yeah, they're... they have more leeway. So
mm-hmm.
when all I'm suggesting is that the talk show host himself decided to back away.
Well, it could be. Maybe you're right. It just seemed like I think the overwhelming number of calls was
mm-hmm.
I didn't hear them all. So, you know, I can only say the three that I heard. But already it was 2-1. You know, oh, you're bad for beating up on Bush.
It's just astonishing.
Chicago.
I mean, my God, Chicago. Is there a more democratic city in America?
No, but once you step, 1 mile outside of Chicago,
yeah,
it's not democratic anymore. I mean, I live there. Trust me.
Yeah, that's right. You live in Arlington Heights.
And the problem I really see with this is, you know, nobody – the problem is that the question wasn't asked. Why did he feel it necessary to even say anything about the banner?
Right.
Nobody goes further. And it really, I'm so tired of just everybody just accepting this pablum and just, I can't understand. Does no one know how to have any kind of critical thinking skills anymore?
Oh, man.
I mean, it's like...
Well, critical thinking is discouraged in this country, whether it's on education or literature or theater or film or politics,
yeah,
or media. Critical thinking, please.
I know.
There's not that many of us left, Jody. Obviously, you're one, and I think most people who listen to this program still understand the term and engage in the idea of critical thinking. But God forbid you should be public about critical thinking.
Well, yeah. I'm going to try one more little note to him, but I'm sure he'll think I'm a cyberstalker at this point. However, I'm losing it here. I am really starting to lose it.
I
don't know how. I'm always, like you said, it's astonishing. There's no word in the English language anymore to describe No. The reaction that I get when I hear people say things like this.
I know. And I think a lot of us have that same feeling. And it is unnameable. You know, we can use the word, the term, damp anxiety. To me, that's a sort of moist, damp anxiety. But anytime I hear people on the radio, I see people on television, I listen to snatches of conversation on the street or the MARTA train here, on the L or whatever, I hear, you know, and I hear this stuff, and I just get a sense of being surrounded by pod people or cyborgs. And I can't come up with anything. It used to be, I'm not saying everybody used to talk, liberal, democratic, but there was a diversity of opinion. You could get out in public and stand at a bus stop. Or go downtown or whatever, be in the lobby of a movie theater or the symphony, and you could hear people talking about stuff. And if it did touch on the political, political, you would hear, well, this opinion and that opinion and over here this opinion. Now, very seldom do you hear, if it's political conversation, do you hear anything other than this kind of fixation on making sure that everybody says the same thing and nobody upsets George Bush.
I do not, this is one thing I've gotten over. I used to be a little more, I'm not going to, you know, raise the stink here.
Mm-hmm.
But I no longer am that way. And I'm tired. You know, I don't care anymore. And I realize sometimes it seems like bad manners, but I don't care.
I hear you.
I hope you're not going as Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No.
For Halloween, because you know your accent really needs work.
No. Not going to happen.
Okay.
Thanks, Jody.
All right.
Appreciate you checking in. Oh, God. Frank is calling from Boston. Hey, Frank.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fine, sir. How are you?
Good. Very good. Well, hanging in there.
Yeah.
This son of a gun couldn't handle a real press conference, couldn't he? Could he? He'd fall apart if he had to handle the kind Clinton used to have to handle.
Oh, yeah.
We would never be able to handle it. Did you hear about, I think the right wingers are starting to get some of their crap. And before I say that, let me just say one thing. With Molly Ivins and you, I declare my hate for the right wing.
Yeah, she. Did you see that column?
Yes, I did.
But what was the title? Why I'm a Bush Hater, or... I forget what the title of the column was, but
people always ask me why I hate him so much, and most of the thoughts were in that article.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we had a couple of right wingers up here, right wing media whores up here who got caught in a little bit of a jam. They they made a comment about that. There was a picture of a paper. We had a gorilla escape from our local zoo. I don't know if you heard that.
I did not.
All right, we had a gorilla escape from the Franklin Park Zoo, and what happened was there was a picture of it. They finally found it. They saw it at a bus stop a couple days later, and it was sitting at a bus stop, and one of the jerks made the comment that must be a Metco gorilla. Now, Metco is a local program that takes out inner-city minority kids out to the suburbs.
Oh, nice, yeah.
And, he got suspended for a couple of weeks. He had 2 weeks. What a nice guy he was, and I'm sorry, and it was just so great.
Yeah.
I just basked in it. Now, everybody was mad at me, but I don't care.
Well, it's just incredible to me what right-wing, neocon, neo-Nazi talk show hosts, what they'll do, what they'll say.
You don't even
say.
Have to hit them hard, Mike.
Huh?
They can't take it. You don't even
no.
have to hit them hard.
No, you don't. You know, it's just, I don't know. I don't know how people listen to radio anymore in most markets. Because
they're getting away from it up here in Boston, let me tell you, because there's two different stations, and they're starting to get away from it. And let me tell you, the average American has caught on to Bush. The problem is, has so much damage been done, it's going to take us so long to repair the damage that's been done already.
Yeah.
The average person, I think, has caught on to the son of a guns because their lives are affected every single day.
Yeah, Hunter Thompson, writing at ESPN.com.
He's been writing some good stuff.
Yeah, I just checked in there not more than an hour ago, and it's his, I don't know if it's the current column or the one I quoted from a couple of weeks ago, but he said, you know, the big dark is here, and, you know, for the next 20 years, our children are going to be drinking filthy water. America's doomed. It's going to take forever to repair the damage that this Bush cabal has.
You're a grandfather, right, Mike?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I am too. I got two grandsons. Okay.
Yeah. I've got a whole bunch of them.
At first, everyone would rag on me. You don't want to put your political views on your kids. And I lived up to it for a while, but I just couldn't anymore. The last couple of years, I've just been letting it flow.
Well, my grandkids are still very, very young, but I will do to them what I did to my kids, and that is start them as early as possible. I want them to understand the phrase, Republicans are piss ants.
Yeah.
Republicans are piss ants.
They will be screwing up. And one thing, that banner story on the ship, that had to be the biggest, the lowest lie he ever told.
Oh, my God. It's just awful. And
they have absolutely no morals. Every time you think there must be some decency in there, listen, hang in there, man.
Thanks, Frank. Bye. I appreciate you checking in. Yeah, the banner story, is there anything more definitive of the depravity of these people where it concerns using soldiers and sailors, you know, young men and young women for the most part, if they're you know, regular military. I'm not talking about the reservists or the National Guards people who are, you know, some of them are in their 50s and they're being forced into Bush's filthy war. Talk about being anti-family. Jesus, this administration is anti-family. But I'm talking about the regular enlistees. Kids that are 18, 19, 20, 21 years old, and every single member of the Bush crime family, I don't care, start with Condoleezza Rice, she doesn't even know soldiers exist, to Rumsfeld, who treats them as if they were debris, trash, to Cheney, who couldn't care less how many die as long as they secure areas where Halliburton and Kellogg Brown and Root can go, devour what's left of our resources and, in terms of our tax dollars. These people are so vicious where it concerns our young, I'm going to call them boys and girls. To me, they are. All right, they're men and women if they're taught to kill and destroy and blow things up, but just no respect. No respect from anybody in the Bush administration for these soldiers and sailors and Marines. None.
The Iraqi regime is a threat to any American. And to threats who are friends of America.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, man, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, use as directed.
The Mike Molloy Show.
in an interview with the Associated Press, Kennedy said the case for going to war against Iraq was a fraud made up in Texas to give Republicans a political boost, and the money for the war is being used to bribe foreign leaders to send troops. Well, Tom DeLay, the bug man. He reminds me so much of Dennis Hopper's character in Blue Velvet. Remember Frank Booth? What was he sucking? What was it, nitrous oxide? That's what DeLay reminds me of. Only DeLay wouldn't be doing nitrous oxide. DeLay would be doing one of those weird bug-killing chemicals, like parathion. You know, as my understanding, that stuff gets you real high right before it kills you.
That's the lowest thing I've ever heard. The lowest thing I've ever heard coming out of Kennedy's mouth.
This is the Frank Booth character from David Lynch's Blue Velvet. There's no question about that, True Seekers.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal Narwhal. Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network. Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You
why,
hate
why not
me?
Put something on that says he's a great goof liberal.
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Conservatives, here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. What do you think of this? What do you think of the latest Trent Lott thing? Did you hear about this? Asked whether he favored any policy changes in Iraq, Trent Lott responded, quote, "We need to have a different mix of troops is the key. We may need to move some troops around," end quote. Lott suggested then moving more troops from the relatively stable south of Iraq closer to the region around Tikrit, where these attacks on U.S. forces, 200 of them last week, have been common. Lott said there was a need for more trained military police, adding that his comments were not necessarily a criticism. Lott said, quote, "Honestly, it's a little tougher. It's a little tougher than I thought it was going to be." In a sign of frustration, he offered an unorthodox military solution. If we have to, we just mow the whole place down, see what happens. What? If we have to, we just mow the whole place down and see what happens. Now, this is a guy who was a cheerleader at Ole Miss when people of color and poor whites were going off to die and kill in Vietnam. This is one of the most cowardly draft evaders in the United States Senate. If we have to, we just mow the whole place down, see what happens. You need to be very aggressive in taking these suicide bombers out. What does that mean? If you have to, just mow the whole place down. This is an old man. Oh, he's getting old. How old is Trent Lott? In his 60s? Hell, he's probably about my age. Whose face is collapsed. Well, hell, so is mine. He's got great hair, doesn't he? Huh? Got a great tan. Gets it out of that man tan bottle, right? Here's a draft dodger. Here is a chicken hawk. He defines chicken hawks. Well, if we have to, we just mow the whole place down, see what happens. If we have to, we just mow the whole place down, see what happens. Trent Lott. Trent Lott. Republicans fear. This is from thehill.com again. Republicans fear they could suffer at the polls if the situation does not improve in Iraq. They could suffer at the polls. Republic, you see? We got to kill some more. Mow them down. By God, we got to kill them all or we're going to get tossed out of office. Damn, that'd be the worst thing that could happen. Dead Americans? Doesn't mean a thing. Wounded Americans? Doesn't mean a thing. Dead Iraqis? Doesn't mean a thing. What means a thing is if my useless, fancy-haired white ass gets thrown out of office, that's what means a thing. Mow them down. Mow them down. Mow the whole place down. See what happens. And even John McCain. John McCain, who recently compared a part of what's going on there to Vietnam, he said U.S. forces need to be more proactive. What the hell does proactive mean?
Well, Mike, it means to kill more stuff and blow more stuff up. You're talking about the military, Mike.
Oh. McCain said, quote, to set up roadblocks after the bomb goes off is not the answer. We got to get into prevention, end quote. I'll tell you how to prevent it, John. Get the U.S. the hell out of there. Bring our troops home. You remember how that works, right, John? You spent how many or 6 years at the Hanoi Hilton having your arms twisted out of their sockets? Right? You remember, don't you, John? Huh? We need more troops there, said McCain. We need more special forces. We need more Marines. We need more intelligence capabilities. We need more death and more killing and more bombing. We need to get in there and just make the streets run red with blood. We need to kill. There's got to be killing, all kinds of killing. Like my good friend Trent Lott says, mow the sons of bitches down. It's gonna be
thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Scientists say we should learn from history before we go all out with hydrogen. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Fuel cells that use hydrogen produce electricity and emit only water. If hydrogen fuel cells replace the internal combustion engine, they could eliminate problems with smog and oil spills. But some people say we need to examine all the impacts of this fuel before we start using it. Tracy Tromp is a physicist at the California Institute of Technology. She's the lead author of a study in the journal Science about the potential impact of a hydrogen economy on the environment. Tromp says hydrogen could leak out during fueling, storage, or any other point along the way. She says too much of this loose gas could disrupt the recovery of the Earth's protective ozone layer. Tromp says this is not a reason to dismiss the idea of using hydrogen-powered fuel cells.
We're not advocating scrapping hydrogen fuel cells. We think they're a great idea. But we're at a unique position at this point in time. The hydrogen fuel cells are a technology that's currently under development. We're not set down any particular technology path. So what we're hoping is to force a dialogue to start thinking about the environment and which of these technologies are most environmentally friendly.
Tromp says that if we can anticipate problems, we can work to avoid them. She says that did not happen before modern economies were built on a foundation of fossil fuel. The consequences included air pollution and widespread emissions of greenhouse gases. Tromp says people are working to better understand how hydrogen behaves in the environment. She says that information is critical to predicting and monitoring the impact of hydrogen fuel cells as a common source of energy. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Hi, fellow Americans. This is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
800-TALK-YES is the number. Does anybody have an opinion on Trent Lott's... that's not normally how we do the program, but this was such a violent and vile statement, and so, I don't know what, murderous. What was the right term I'm looking for? Do you have a comment on what Trent Lott said? If we have to, we just have to mow the whole place down and see what happens. I mean, does that affect you, that statement? Does it affect you the way it affected me? Mow the whole place down. This is a guy who probably has never held a firearm in his hands at all. No, just because he's a white man in the South doesn't mean he knows how to use a gun. Oh, trust me on that. He has no concept of what these young men and some who are not so young and women are going through in Iraq. He has no idea of the slaughter and the death and the destruction, the heartbreak, the 358 Americans who are now dead, the 15,000 Iraqis who are now dead, minimum. He doesn't care. There's nothing there. Nothing. This Christian thug punk. Be careful now, Mike. You're talking about a United States senator who says, if we have to, we just mow the whole place down, see what happens. We have to be very aggressive in taking them out. I don't even like it when these chicken hawk little piss ants even use that kind of language, as though they understand what the term taking someone out means. They don't. They've seen too many Clint Eastwood movies. If we have to, we just mow the whole place down and see what happens. What does that mean? Well, you're contemplating that one. Yeah, I saw this story. There were three essential reasons that Tony Blair and George Bush gave for going to war with Iraq, for attacking Iraq and slaughtering people. The first was to broaden the war on terrorism, right? The second was to destroy Iraq's weapons of mass destruction before they could be deployed, you know, atom bombs over Detroit. And the third, and the one that they've held on to since the first two have turned out to be just utter horse droppings, the third was to remove a brutal regime which had tortured and murdered its own people, right? How many times did you hear that? That has become now Bush's only justification for the war. It doesn't make any difference what he said 3, 6, 9, 12 months ago. Now it was, well, you know, he was a brutal bastard. We had to get him out of there. The world is a better place without, right? How many times have we heard it? If the purpose was to defeat terrorism, that's a massive failure. If the purpose was to ferret out these weapons of mass destruction, that's a failure. So just one excuse remains, and it's relatively powerful. And Saddam Hussein was a brutal tyrant. Now, there's no legal argument for forcibly removing him, not in the U.N. Charter, not in the U.S. Constitution, not anywhere, not in the European Union, not in the British, whatever the hell the British documents are called. What are they called? Boy, do I feel like a moron. There was no legal prerogative to get rid of him, but there was a moral one. Okay. maybe, a moral argument for forcibly throwing him out. Just like you could make a moral argument for getting rid of Stalin, Hitler, George Bush. But if the moral argument can be made, in other words, if Bush cares so much about the welfare of Iraqis, now you understand I'm being wry and ironic, and okay, good. If he cares so much about the welfare of the Iraqis that he is willing to kill 15,000 of them to free them and order the deaths of so far 350 Americans in order to open the schools and the hospitals in Iraq, if that's what he's really about, shouldn't we expect to see this kind of concern reflected in all of his relationships with the governments of other countries? How about Uzbekistan? That's one of the Central Asian countries that the United States has now gotten itself a military base. We need Uzbekistan because it's right in the middle of the stands up there where all the natural gas and oil is. There are 6,000, over 6,000, according to human rights organizations, over 6,000 political and religious prisoners in Uzbekistan. Every year, now I'm going to quote from The Guardian, every year some of them are tortured to death. Sometimes the policemen or intelligence agents simply break their fingers, their ribs, and then their skulls with hammers, or stab them with screwdrivers, or rip off bits of skin and flesh with pliers, or drive needles under their fingernails, or leave them standing for a couple of weeks up to their knees in freezing water. Sometimes they are a little more inventive. The body of one prisoner was delivered to his relatives last year with a curious red tide mark around the middle of his torso. He had been boiled to death. His crime, the person had been boiled to death, like that of many of the country's prisoners, was practicing his religion. Now, who is the head of this charnel house called Uzbekistan? Well, his name is Islam Karimov. He's the president. He learned his politics in the old Soviet Union. When the Soviet Union collapsed in 1991, it did not interrupt Karimov's rule. He's still there. Now, anyone who worships, practices religion privately, Muslims especially, this is a Muslim country, who does not praise the president Karimov during his prayers, or who joins an organization which has not been approved by the state, can be imprisoned, tortured, and murdered. Political dissidents, human rights activists, homosexuals all receive the same treatment. Some of them are sent to psychiatric hospitals. But Uzbekistan, you see, is seen by the Bush crime family as a key Western asset, as Saddam Hussein's Iraq once was. Now, what's the depth of our involvement, aside from the fact that we're not screaming that Karimov is a monster, like we screamed about Saddam? Since 1999, U.S. Special Forces have been training Karimov's soldiers. In October 2001, Karimov gave the United States permission to use Uzbekistan as an airbase for its war against the Taliban. The Taliban have now been driven underground, but the U.S. has no intention of moving out. Why? Because, like I mentioned, Uzbekistan is in the middle of Central Asia's massive gas and oil fields. Ooh! So, far from seeking to isolate this regime or overthrow this dictator, the Bush crime family has tripled its aid to Karimov. Last year, he received $500 million U.S. tax dollars, $500 million, of which $80 million went to the police and intelligence services who are responsible for most of the torture. Your money and mine pay for a system that boils to death political dissidents.
Why, gas his own people.
Now, while the Bush crime family claims that its engagement with Karimov will encourage him to respect human rights, like Saddam dead? Karimov continues to do whatever the hell he wants because he knows he's safe now. He's got the United States, just like Osama had the United States during the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan, just like Saddam had the United States during the war with Iran. Now, this murderous psychopath, really a psychopath, he boils people to death. Now he's got the United States. So the word out of this corrupt, filthy, degenerate U.S. State Department and Defense Department is, well, we're just engaging Mr. Karimov. You know, this will help him improve his human rights record. And it has improved. A couple of months ago, for example, the U.S. State Department announced that Uzbekistan has made what the State Department called substantial and continuing progress in improving its human rights record. The progress? According to the U.S. State Department, quote, average sentencing for members of peaceful religious organizations is now just 7 to 12 years, while 2 years ago they were usually sentenced to 12 to 19 years. That's what these murderous cyborgs in the Bush crime family see as progress. 12 years in prison for peaceful religious observations. Now, if these were Christians instead of Muslims, oh, wouldn't Falwell and Robertson and the rest of these religious right worms just be screaming and hollering like they did about the Sudanese Christians being slaughtered by the Muslims? But no, these are Muslims. So boiling them to death, shoving needles under their fingers, torturing them, how does the Bush crime family respond? $500 million. Training their military and police force. Providing $80 million for new torture racks, whatever the hell they use, torture racks and thumb screws and painful devices. Now, there is no question that the power and longevity of this government, Karimov's government, is due to one simple reality, the special arrangement that he has with the Bush crime family. And the only reason the Bush crime family has this arrangement is because the Bush crime family wants the oil and the gas. And, well, there is a subtext here, and that is the Bush crime family is as perverted and sick and corrupt as Mr. Karimov. So the next time George Bush opens his filthy mouth about, well, the world is better off without Saddam Hussein, he gassed his own people. He's a wicked man. What about our relationship with Uzbekistan? Here we go again, creating the next generation of Osamas and Saddams and bombers to come to this country. And if nothing else, horrible, horrible karma that once again is going to come back and devour this country. We are supporting with our tax dollars, and George Bush is supporting with his filthy mouth, and the State Department and the Defense Department are supporting with their propaganda a man who boils people to death. Yeah. Oh, my God. Paul is calling from Owensboro, Washington. Hello?
Hi, Mike.
Yeah, is it Owensboro, Washington?
Owensburg.
Welcome to the program, Paul.
Yeah, thanks. I just had a couple questions.
Sure.
It's kind of a two-part thing. I've been listening to your program for a while now, and, you know, you're correct. You know, Bush crime family needs to be kicked out. And I'm a fairly young guy, and you've been in this game a lot longer than I have. So just have two questions. One, do you think that anything will happen? Will the cogs turn at all to get rid of these guys and before the 2004 election? Are we just going to have to wait to vote for the bologna sandwich that will replace him in the sense of anyone else but Bush? And the second part is there anything that I can do as a citizen to help the process along to get rid of this schmuck other than write my congressman?
Any chance of getting rid of him before 2004? I don't think so. With the U.S. Patriot Act and the destruction of civil liberties here, the creation of so-called free amendment, First Amendment zones, the lockdown on dissent and civil resistance. No, I don't see any way for Bush to and his regime to be removed before 2004. Now, what happens on 2004 in the election in 2004? There's a good chance that everything will be stacked against a Bush being defeated. I think right now our entire electoral system is in the toilet. I think we're seeing the end of representative democracy. Now, I hate to be so negative, but what the hell am I supposed? Look what happened in California. Look what happened in Florida. Look what happened in Texas. Look what is going on with the computerized black box voting. I think that we're seeing the last gasp of representative government in this country. I'm beginning to really believe that. Now, is there still time to pull it out? Yeah, there still is. What's it going to take? You said that your second part of the question, what can a guy like you do except write your congressman? It goes back to, I think what you can do goes back to the same ideas that have always worked when issues of social justice or revolution have, whether it's been a nonviolent revolution or violent, and that is organizing. Whether it's organizing a union or organizing a peace demonstration or organizing a political party or organizing get out the voter, get out the vote thing or organizing screaming, insane internet campaigns against black box voting. I guess that's what can still be done. Now, I turned a corner at some point, I don't know, in the past 6-8 months, where from being mostly an optimist, I am now mostly a pessimist. Not completely and totally a pessimist, but if I had to divide myself into percentage points, I'd say I'm about 60-40 a pessimist, which means I'm not going to stop fighting, and neither should you. It's very frustrating, really, to do a talk radio program. I've said so many times on this program, and here we sit just talking about it. You know, so it's very frustrating to see this country slide into a kind of fascism that would be embarrassing to Mussolini and almost embarrassing to Hitler and Franco. But it's here. So I'm not sure what to do, Paul, except to organize, connect with people, and learn how to handle more than one kind of weapon. Learn how to handle a pistol. Learn how to handle a rifle. Learn how to handle whatever you need to learn how to handle. That's all I can tell you.
All right. Thanks. I don't know about the organizing, but I am finding more and more people that just can't stand Bush.
I hear that. And, all right. Well, listen, let me put you on hold a second. I've got a break coming here. We'll come back and finish up in just a minute.
Texas, elected by his brother-in-law. Hail Caesar! This is what you're fighting for. Oil, money, Enron, the
American... Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like
okay, up there!
You'll sleep like
Need more tissues?
Sleep like
Cover your mouth!
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that!
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace stool softener capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative, Colace capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply Cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your throat is all a tickle and you're really in a pickle,
Simply Cough. Use as directed.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
I'm tired of this crappy job.
What? I thought you loved this job. You have a company car. You even have a
expense account.
What's the problem?
I have to listen to all this junk radio, and I miss all my favorite political talk shows like Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins, because I have to beat a stupid job.
Why don't you listen to it on your computer like me?
Because for some stupid reason, I have to pay attention to what's going on at work or something like that. I don't remember. I wasn't listening. All I know is that I'm pretty cranky when I miss my shows.
You think?
I should just go over there and tell him that I'm not coming to work until I listen to my shows, and if he's got a problem with it, then we can go outside.
Hold on there. Just listen to the best in political talk on Sundays.
The what?
The best in political talk on Sundays from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time. You can hear the best of Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins.
Really? Well, that's better than picking a fight with the boss.
Yeah, you'll keep your job and your health.
What? You don't think I can take him?
He's big, dude.
I would waste him.
Yeah, right.
That's the best of political talk Sunday nights from 10 to midnight Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show,
where we serve you food with attitude plus a heaping helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, yum, one, two, four, and you.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Ready for a liberal helping of the truth? Here's Mike.
Five before the hour. We're talking with Paul in the state of Washington. Where were we? I think we're just about to wrap it up. What to do in these times, right?
Yeah, just to organize. And I was just wondering, you know, how much more can Bush do? I mean, he's done so much.
Oh, the damage, the potential for damage is just endless. He hasn't pulled out the tactical nukes yet. He hasn't engineered another attack on American soil. The damage that this machine can do is still just beyond your and my comprehension, I think.
Well, all I can really hope for is on the inauguration day, and hopefully Bush is defeated, and they go through the inauguration speech, and the next president just goes, you know, they announce him, and he goes, thank you for voting for me, and arrest that guy.
you know,
and just haul them all off to jail, because, I mean, they've just, it's boggling how many laws they've broken.
It's incredible. Hey, thanks for checking in, Paul.
Well, thanks for taking my call, Mike. You have a good night.
All right, sir. You too. Let me get this said, because some nights we run out of time. Program was engineered tonight in Detroit by Charlotte Jones. Produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces, thanks to Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. Mark Marshall of MaximumInteractive.com for our website, which is MikeMalloy.com. And thanks to our volunteer moderators who keep that site going. Don't forget, Dennis Kucinich tomorrow night in our first hour. So stick around. Michael in California Placerville, California, sent me two quotes from Barry Crimmins, the political satirist. Satirist? Political satire writer. Barry Crimmins said, this is in reference to Wolfowitz, who almost had his ass blown into a million pieces at the Al Rashid Hotel in Baghdad over the weekend, remember? Barry Crimmins writes, the good news is Chickenhawk Wolfowitz has finally seen some action. And unlike many U.S. troops, Wolfowitz has the necessary connections to get himself a Kevlar vest. In fact, they're still trying to get the stains out of the Kevlar briefs Wolfowitz was wearing on Sunday. Thanks, Michael. Y'all have a good evening, what's left of it. I will see you tomorrow, I hope. I really hope. Take care.
To Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
On the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the